can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Hold on, and Ivan, just an overwhelming sense of pride has just swept over us that this man, for the second week in a row, has rung in the world's number one broadcaster. For the seventh time in a row, he's won Australia's best broadcast, and he's on the line from
Sydney.
Yeah,
but hang on.
Don't waste time. He's got his shorter time. The Dr. Ben Fordham. Welcome, Doc.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to the whole world tuning in to You Can't Be Serious. Don, you're about to say something.
Yeah,
go right
thank
ahead,
you
please.
Very much, Ben. I'm glad you're on the uptake because the rude bastard opposite me didn't acknowledge
language,
the
Don.
Fact. Thank you. There was an if. There was an if beside your name when it was raised earlier today. Why is there if he's going to ring in?
There's no ifs, no buts, no maybes. When I say I'm going to do something, I do something. And I said last week I'd be here. Of course I'm going to be here because the doctor needs to turn up for his patients, right? You guys need help. And
no,
I'm here to help you guys.
Help. Yeah, we do, Don.
We don't need help.
Don's got this completely by the throat. I said, if don't mention the man that we've got as a guest who's coming in, we're going to interview, in case he doesn't turn up. I didn't speak about, wasn't speaking about
who
the
is
doctor.
It? Who's the guest?
Oh, no, you won't know this. No. Oh, shit, jeez.
Who is it? Shane Warne?
No. We're not saying fast forward.
Daniel Andrews?
No, we have an Indigenous man coming in called Stan Dryden.
Oh.
Stan Dryden.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll do some research now. Thank you.
He's a very good man, and I know him quite well, and he is he's a star. And he's coming into – we're going to ask him about all things Indigenous. And,
now, listen, can you just tell me in episode one that you've already put together, please tell me you spoke about bees. Did anyone bring up bees?
You're a smart ass.
So you got that topic from the doctor, did you?
No. There's been no conversation or liaise between the doctor and doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just asking because I've always felt with the podcast, you know that I'm a massive fan of the podcast, I've just always felt there's a shortage of bee content. So please tell me that someone has spoken about sitting on a veranda somewhere watching bees pollinate, because that sounds fascinating to me.
Well, Doc,
you're a smart.
Doc, I'm speaking about other topics, and Don said, I said, have you got any topics, Don? And he said, well... He said, I've been watching the flowers in my garden. I said, you've been what? He said, watching the flowers, and I've been watching bees land on the petals. I said, you're taking the piss, aren't you, Don? I said, is that what's going on in your life? And we went and we had a whole discussion about the health of the planet. The bellwether of the country and the planet is contingent on bees pollinating.
And you know what? I could get some help from you guys about the birds and the bees if you wouldn't mind helping me out, because Jody and I are having a few issues at the moment. And it's not relating to... No, it's not relating... Morning, Mr. Malat. It's not relating to our love life. But this is true. I've got a bit of an issue, and I'll tell you what happened.
Right.
Freddie Fordham, our son, turned 7 on the weekend, and then Jody this week found something in his backpack as he was going off to school. He's in year one. And Jody called me. She said, I found something in Freddie's backpack. Now, what are you thinking when you hear that? I mean, because your heart skips a beat. You think, oh, no, he's only 7. What's he taking to school? What do you think it is?
A World War II ordnance?
No, the only thing I would be either some...
dope?
Dope,
no.
A knife, a condom, or...
no, I'll tell you.
A book on...
I need to remind you, he's 7. So what Jody found in his backpack was a love letter to a girl called Ivy. And what he did, he made his own envelope, because he obviously couldn't find one. He made an envelope by sticking pieces of paper together with sticky tape, and he put a Chubba Chup lollipop in the middle, and he sent a note to her, to Ivy, letting her know that he was a big fan of hers. And he wrote a whole list of kids' names, and he drew arrows between the different names saying who loves who.
Oh, my
and his
God.
Arrow went all the way around the page and avoided everyone else, and then it ended on Ivy. And I just thought, you know, at some point this young man is growing up, and I might need his godfathers, Sam and Don, to give the young man some advice.
Doc, can I? Do you sure Ivy is a girl?
Oh, I've got no idea.
No, you couldn't.
That's a good question.
Yeah, no.
And that's part. That should be part of the conversation, because I've got no concerns whether he falls in love with a boy or a girl or anyone else. He can fall in love with whoever he wants. But when it comes to that crucial conversation, I'm wondering whether I should outsource that to someone like Don, who could sit down and explain to a young man, when he's of appropriate age, how the birds and the bees work. Because I remember when my dad explained it to me, and it was a very, very, very bizarre conversation. He found a strange way of getting into it. You know, I'll tell you how he said it, right?
Didn't you go to one of those father and son nights?
Well, hang on.
The way he did it, my mum, the big kahuna, kind of prompted him a little bit, and then I sensed something was happening, and he sat me down on the edge of the bed, and mum was kind of listening in, and he said, "Now, listen, I need to explain something to you, because you're going to be learning about this stuff." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "You know, occasionally I use the F word if something makes me angry or if I hurt myself." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, the F word actually means something else, right?" And that's when my mum jumped in and went, "John, no, that's not the way of explaining this to Ben." And so I've been traumatized by that ever since. And I thought, maybe I need to bring in you blokes. I mean, how do you explain it? When he's of the right age, how do you explain the birds and the bees to a young man in 2021? You tell me, Sam, how do you do it?
My word, Doc, that's an interesting one. I just moving on from... So when you mentioned that the lass's name was Ivy, reminded me of Kevin Hines. Do you remember Kevin Hines on So What? Do you ever heard of Kevin Hines?
No.
Kevin Hines...
He was big on national television.
He did a gardening show on the ABC called So What? And I remember tuning in, this is how I learned a little about the birds and bees. I remember tuning in one day, and Kevin Hines had a bit of a wonky eye, and he was a very nice, charming man. And he said, he started off the show, and this is a gardening show, and he said, "Hello, tonight I'm going to pot iris." And I thought, shit. And then he said, "I'm going to pot iris." And then he said, "And I'm going to plant rose up against the wall." And I thought, holy shit, what have I turned on to? And I thought,
it's the R-rated version of So What. Yeah, no, well, I missed out on Kevin Hines. But, you know, we lost another gardening great in the last week, Peter Cundall from Gardening Australia on the ABC.
Yes.
And he lost his life in the last week or so. I think he died of old age. And I think his thing was, "And that's the bloomin' lot," or something like that, he used to say at the end. And then there's Don Burke. Did you used to watch Don Burke?
I did used to watch Don a little. I was actually on, yes. Don, what happened to Don? He fell foul of something, didn't he? What happened to Don?
Yeah, he got caught up in the Me Too movement, Don Burke. And
that's
look, Don
right.
was a very complex character. I don't know whether you met him around Channel 9 back in the day,
yes,
Sam, but
I certainly did.
And I've always taken an approach when it comes to using foul language that I certainly avoid using foul language when I'm in the company of women or people I don't know. And I remember one day at Channel 9, Don Burke was talking to me and he's dropping F-bombs and C-bombs. And I thought, I don't think he realises that there's this young female producer who is standing 1 metre away from him just to his right. So what I did is I said, "Oh, Don, have you met Olivia?" You know, as a way of letting him know, "Hey, mate, you know, you're using the C word and the F word, and there's a young female right here." And he said, "Yeah, yeah, I know Olivia." So anyway, those F and Cs, and he just kept on going, and I thought, oh, yeah. So when Don landed in a bit of trouble, I thought, oh, you know, I mean, I don't want to get in any trouble by talking about the substance of the allegations against him, but, mate, he used to run a bit of a wild show at Channel 9 back in the day, Don.
What, the gardening show was a wild show?
No, his demeanor.
I mean, his demeanor around the place, I mean, I think he took the approach that – you can't get to the top without running over a few people along the way. In fact, his production company was called CTC Productions, which stands for Cut the Crap. So he used to love going into Kerry Packer's office or James Packer's office and you know, telling them all the things that were wrong with the network. But look, for a long, long time, he was a staple on Channel 9. And
now, you're the top in radio. You've cut a few lunches on the way through. Who have you cut lunches?
Hang on, is this Kevin Hines? So what? What are we talking about, potting ivy or what?
Potting iris, plant rose up against
look,
the
wall. I mean, I don't know. I'm a lover, not a fighter, Don, but my old man had a saying. No, I'll tell you this, Don, I'll answer the question, right? Yes. My old man had a saying, which I love, which is, if you grab the tail, you get the whole tiger. So that's my approach. If someone grabs the tail, then I'm happy to bite their freaking head off. But otherwise, I'm just a warm, cuddly pussycat.
Well, I want your you are indeed, Doc. You are now, Doc. I want your opinion.
Very complex.
I want your opinion on these two things. For a start, the woke brigade have got up and about. God love him. William Shakespeare has written a couple of plays called Henry the Fifth and Richard the Third, they are now saying the woke. This is, I don't know how long ago he wrote those plays, but they're now saying they're sort of not appropriate because they Princess Catherine, who Richard the Third and Henry the Fifth tried to chat up, she didn't. Mm. They didn't get an actual yes to say it was all right to continue the courting, and they're now saying
this is This is just ridiculous. I mean, this kind of...
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll tell you who the academic is. She's from the UK. Her name is Hayley Backrack. And what she's saying is Richard III and Henry V, they never received an actual yes from Princess Catherine and Lady Anne before they were intimate. Now, can I just give her a newsflash? Richard III was written in 1592. Henry V was written in 1599. The stories are 400 years old, and you've got this knucklehead who comes along and says, oh, well, it's 2021. I want to make some changes. Well, I've got a feeling that we won't be paying any attention to this academic or many of the other woke academics out there 400 years after they release their thoughts, whereas William Shakespeare, 400 years after he wrote these beautiful stories, they're still being read, they're still being shared, they're still being presented as masterpieces. I mean, why don't these people write their own stories? If you don't like what William Shakespeare has to say, why don't you go and write your own story instead of tearing down other people for what they've done?
Absolutely, Doc. So the more important question or the more extension of this is that why do, and we've taken notice of it because we think it's just ludicrous, but why does anyone take any notice of this nonsense? Because they are just, they're agenda seekers and they're on a mission to find, be aggrieved about anything because there's a gold medal going to be awarded at the next Olympics for those who can be the most aggrieved. Why do we, the general rank and file, take any notice of this shit nonsense?
Well, I don't think we do. I think people ignore it, but I think it is important to call it out, and here's why. I'll give you an example. There's an Australian actor called Hugh Sheridan who used to be on Pack to the Rafters, right? Yeah. And about a year or so ago, he was named in the lead role of a play in Sydney, and the character is transgender. And then all of a sudden, these transgender activists came out and said, you can't play a transgender character because you're not transgender. Hugh Sheridan wrote back to them on Instagram in a private message, you must be kidding yourself. You've obviously got problems. They then started a petition. They had 1,500 people who'd lobbied the Sydney Theatre Company. Before you know it, they said, okay, the show's postponed. Then they cancelled it. Well, recently in an interview with the Good Weekend magazine, Hugh Sheridan has revealed that he felt so bullied by the people who tried to cancel him, he twice attempted to take his own life. So that's why it might be seen as deranged and brain dead, but it's also dangerous because, you know, when the mob from the woke brigade go after people, they could actually end up killing these people. That's what happened to Hugh Sheridan. He says, listen, it got to the point where I felt like I've got to take my own life. He tried twice, and he makes a really good point to say, what, can I only play who I am? I mean, how are you supposed to play a character as an actor if that's not who you are? Therefore, you'd say, well, Forrest Gump, well, you can't have Tom Hanks playing Forrest Gump because he doesn't have the same issues that the character Forrest Gump had. I mean, it's just nuts.
Yeah, and Mrs. Doubtfire, all those, that the main point, surely, Doc, is that if you're an actor, you can act and play any person you like.
No, I would have thought so. And look, I don't know whether we're ready to announce this, but there is going to be a feature film coming out in 2022, which is The Life and Times of Don Scott. Now, it's going to be released by Village Pictures, Village Roadshow. And, Don, are we ready to announce who's playing the role of Don Scott?
Listen, can't you keep your mouth shut? You're supposed to...
At some point, it's going to get out.
No, don't. Why have you just got to go after headlines?
Russell Crowe.
No, you're no different to the woke brigade, you. Oh.
Russell Crowe's going to play Don Scott.
No. Yeah. He's going to play him. He's going to, because Russell can transform himself into a senile old weirdo, and so he's going to transform himself, and then he will. You'll watch it, and you'll swear you're looking at the real Don Scott. It's going to be unbelievable.
You're just typical of every journo, and you're just after a headline.
Drop off, Don. Seriously, drop off.
Yeah. Just like Russ played. Did he? Is that Beautiful Mind? Was that the film he...
A Beautiful Mind.
Should have won the Academy Award, but they gave it to... Oh, don't get me into who they gave it to that year. But he was an eccentric, diverse, lateral person in that, and that would be perfect to play Don, because Don's the most eccentric person that's on the planet as we speak.
Yeah, well, what about, mate, Russell Crowe? I mean, you've got to say, he's up there with the best, isn't he, as far as worldwide... actors and acclaim. I think he's hard to beat. I mean, he's another complex character, a bit like Sam. He's he's a bloke who is not easy to work out the first time around. And I've actually had a little bit of a dispute with Russell many years ago. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I don't think I need to get offside with the Gladiator. So I reached out to him about a year or so ago.
You're reaching out to a lot of people lately.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We reach out. Reach out and touch somebody, as the song said in the 1980s. Yeah.
I think you're a suck.
Yeah, well, you know what? Occasionally you've got to suck, Don. Hmm. And you do it every day. But you've got to suck up to people once in a while, because when you realise that life is too short to have a dispute with someone, good morning, Rocket, then you reach out to them. Yeah, that's
good morning,
all you do.
Rocket. Jeez, I'm glad we've got him. I'm learning.
No, don't let the sun go down on you or me.
By the way, speaking of feuds, let me ask you a question, Sam.
Yep.
Carolyn Wilson, Caro Wilson, how's the state of the friendship between the two of you these days? Because once upon a time she was a guest on the You Can't Be Serious podcast. That was a fantastic episode, by the way. It was up there, I think, in my top three. I really loved as well Rex Hunt. When Rex was on, he's mad. But how things with you and Caro these days? Can I help there at all?
No. I made the fatal mistake of doing a little parody, a little satire on Caro when this was 20 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, dressed
up. Yeah, we remember.
Oh, man, she gone to town on that. I don't know why she thought she was the only person immune from having satire or...
Is she back in Melbourne?
Oh, who knows?
Well, she's suffering from COVID in Europe.
In Europe.
Is she
sick? She's very sick.
Oh.
Hey, is there any update on the breaking news I brought you last week when I predicted that Rebecca Madden was off to Channel 7?
Nobody went with it. We thought they'd go with it, but nobody went
with it. No, they did.
Who?
They did. I'll read it to you if you like. I'll dig it up. The Daily Mail reported it online, and they said that Ben Fordham is predicting that Rebecca Madden is to return to Channel 7. He revealed it on the You Can't Be Serious podcast. So
really?
They certainly picked up on it. Yeah, and ever since, I've noticed some other articles suggesting that there are other sources out of 7 suggesting the same thing. So this may be an exclusive that we've broken on the podcast.
You've created a story.
No, there's no me.
Yeah, I think there is. I think it revolves around you.
Now, just just before we run out of time with you, Doc, we've got several things. Now, so you have been on about, I think, some alleged war atrocities in Afghanistan, where the ABC, I think, have rounded up. Rounded up the bloke who runs Seven in Queensland, Ben Robert Smith, or is that, am I got a different person, wrong person?
Yeah, no, well, that's Ben Robert Smith is involved in a legal dispute with the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, but what I've been doing, I met some blokes from November Platoon, right? A group of elite Aussie soldiers, and they told me a story about an ABC report from October 2020, which alleged that these soldiers had executed an unarmed man in Afghanistan because they didn't have enough room for him on the helicopter. So they said they captured seven prisoners. There are only six seats. So because they had one extra, they shot a bloke dead. This was a accusation that the ABC put to air through an unnamed US Marine who apparently had said nothing about it for 8 years. And then all of a sudden, he goes on the ABC and accuses these soldiers. Now, these soldiers said to me, this did not happen. So I've been investigating it. And over the course of the last 6 weeks or so, I've presented more than a dozen stories and pieces of evidence to suggest that these soldiers should be believed. And you know what happened this week, which is significant? I said, why doesn't Media Watch investigate this? Because the Media Watch program is always looking into other people in the media who make mistakes. Why don't they look into the ABC's own reporting of November Platoon? Well, you're not going to believe it. Paul Barry on Media Watch on Monday night dedicated 8 minutes to it, and he pulled them apart. He said they didn't have any other witnesses to back it up. He said they've screwed up the dates. The ABC has not helped its case. The ABC pressed publish too soon. And get this, Paul Barry said on Media Watch, they should have told ABC viewers the allegation might not be true. Now, can you imagine putting a story to air about Australian troops who are willing to go and fight to protect all of us, risk their own lives and leave their wives and their children at home, if you weren't sure that this allegation of a very serious war crime wasn't true? That's what's happened, and now the ABC is in damage control because even the ABC is questioning this story. And you know what some of these soldiers said to me, boys? They said, look, it's not like we're booking a taxi after a night at the local club and we're trying to work out whether we need a normal taxi or a maxi taxi. I mean, we know what we're doing. We're elite soldiers. If we don't have room on the chopper, you just make room, or you leave people behind, or you call for another chopper. It sounded unbelievable from the start, and now after about 6 weeks of campaigning from my radio program on 2GB, even the ABC is now admitting, whoops, we might just have this one wrong.
Well, that is fantastic that the ABC have been brought to account, because they have become recidivist liars over so many things. And the fact, and good on Paul Barry. Good on Paul Barry, because there's a female journalist there who's been sued twice and cost us, the taxpayers, a fortune in payouts, because she has, I know her name, but I'm not going to mention it. She's been sued twice for outlandish and disgraceful lies that she has told, and the ABC have gone ahead with them, and summarily, quite rightly, have been sued, and payouts, which we pay because we fund the ABC, they operate on not the same standards as commercial broadcasting networks, and they just do anything. So it's great that they have been brought to account.
Yeah, and I say well done to Media Watch for doing it. Now, Don, can I just give you just a few notes?
Can I ask you a question? Why aren't there checks and balances at the ABC? And is there professional jealousy between you on the commercial and they on the national stadium?
Oh, there's always rivalry, but I mean you've got to put checks and balances in place.
Okay, so haven't the ABC got checks and balances?
Well, yes, but they took the word of an anonymous US Marine, and
shouldn't there been a check or a balance there?
Well, of course, and that's why they didn't do their job on this case. There's a line in the editorial standards at the ABC that says the ABC requires that reasonable efforts must be made to ensure accuracy in all fact-based content, and clearly they didn't pass the pub test on that one. Now, Don, can I just give you just a few notes for your upcoming interview? Because you've got Stan Dryden coming up. I'll just tell you a few things about
him. How do you know this?
Stan Dryden is a famous Aboriginal artist, right? He's also a musician and a businessman. And I'll just give you a couple of pointers for when you talk to him. You know that he once played on stage with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And Bono from U2 and Snoop Dogg and Prince
have
all bought paintings. They've all bought paintings made by Stan Dryden. And he's got a hell of a story because he grew up sleeping in public toilets.
Yeah, I know.
And he now drives around in a Ferrari and he exhibits his paintings in New York and London.
And so also in Johnny.
You will find him absolutely fascinating, and I'm sure he'll find you fascinating too.
Very, very, very well said. He's, but I told him, I asked him to bring his didgeridoo in. He's a proficient didgeridoo player, and he is a very, I know him quite well, Stan. He's a very moderate man with very passionate views about his culture and his aboriginality, but he is very fair and has some very sensible things to say. Now, Doc, I said to Don, don't mention him in case he doesn't turn up.
Yeah, that's right.
Not just because we never mention
any guests. He better bloody turn up now.
Never mention any guests in case they don't turn up.
Otherwise, you'll have to ring the Rocket. The Rocket will have to fill in.
So now, just quickly, I don't know if you might be tethered to having an opinion that has to be mainstream, but I
no.
Let me ask you this. There is, in the University of Pennsylvania swim team in the championships, a person, a trans swimmer called Leah Thomas, has cleaned up and won all the women's events because she's actually a biological man. Now, I don't care. I don't care if I get branded as transphobic, homophobic, as a dinosaur. Why this is allowed to go on is absolutely ludicrous. And why is it allowed to go on that men masquerading as women can take over women's sport?
Well, here's my take on that, right? Transgender athletes should be able to play sport, compete, and chase their dreams. But the moment someone born a male competes against females, it's no longer a level playing field. And if you need evidence of this, the girl you've just mentioned, Leah Thomas, and I know about it because we covered it on the show today, have a listen to this. She's 22. In the 1500-meter freestyle, she won by 38 seconds. In the 500-meter freestyle, she won by 14 seconds. She also smashed college records in two other events last month. She is clearly someone who was born a male and therefore has a distinct advantage. And I'll give you another example. There's a track and field star from the US called CC Telfer. CC was born Craig. Now, when CC was Craig, Craig was ranked 390th back in 2017. When Craig became CC, CC became a national champion in the 400-meter hurdle. So from 390th to first in the space of 2 years. Now, I'll tell you, Sam, I've spoken to the Australian Olympic Committee about this, and they want the IOC to say, look, we've got to come up with proper rules, because the rules that are in place, get this, the testosterone levels required by transgender athletes are more than three times higher than the average woman. So even when you do something about, you know, their testosterone levels through testosterone-lowering hormones and things like that, they still have an advantage when it comes to their testosterone levels. And there's just no doubt about it. I mean, if it's my daughter, and if my daughter's waking up at 4 o'clock every morning and going doing swimming lessons 5 days a week because she dreams of winning a gold medal one day, I don't want her on the starting blocks knowing that she's only a chance of winning the silver, because that's what it is at the moment. It's just not right. People should be allowed to do whatever they want, but when it comes to competition, it's got to be a level playing field. So, otherwise, it ain't fair.
So the logical extension, spot on, so the logical extension of this, Doc, is what happens when a man wishes to play women's golf in the LPGA and wants to play Wimbledon as a woman? man wants to play tennis. If you don't make the guidelines consistent for women's sport in swimming, then they just it just goes to another level, and you will find it very hard to stop people playing tennis and golf in those sports because they'll say, well, there's a precedent's been set.
And the reason why they won't do something about it, it goes back to political correctness. They're afraid that someone is going to be offended, so they will allow an unlevel playing field to exist, an unfair competition, and it's just not right. That's why sporting bodies around the world are going to have to do something about it. And do you know who agrees with us on this? Caitlyn Jenner, who used to be Bruce Jenner.
Yep.
You ask Caitlyn Jenner, the most high-profile trans person in the world, Caitlyn Jenner says, no way in the world should people born male be allowed to compete against female.
And Doc Martina Navratilova got tossed off the board of women's tennis because she said exactly the same thing.
Mm. Martina Navratilova, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Martina Navratilova.
Now, one area where you are an expert, Ben, and I'll ask you this because
yes,
I flicked onto your old show, The Morning Show, the other morning, and I watched when you were part of it and there was a chemistry between you. That seems to be lacking. Was the chemistry a natural thing or manufactured when you were on that morning show?
No. When I was on the Today Show with Carl and Lisa and Georgie and Dickie, no, it was all real, mate, and that's why... Up on YouTube, I noticed. I think I know the videos you're talking about.
No, I watched your show. I've watched
it
before.
Watched it at the time.
You know, just now, I've watched the morning show, and it's lacking that feel that you people generated.
The camaraderie,
now,
Don.
Well, whatever it is,
look,
it seemed to be genuine.
Look, I don't get a chance to see it because I'm on air, right? So I don't know the what you're talking about. I know they're all very talented people, and I know that they're all smart operators. But Don, I think what you're trying to say is that if the bosses from Channel 9 are looking for chemistry, you hear it right here on You Can't Be Serious. The doctor's ready for service. Sam's here. Don's here. Ivan Milat can do the sport. Let's bring it on. This should be the Today Show lineup.
Well, it should be. Now, speaking now, I'm not sure how much more time you got. We'll just keep going till you say you've had enough. Speaking of sport, I see Steve Smith, the man who tampered with someone's balls over in New Zealand, has been reinstated at the expense of Tim Payne, who...
Pat Cumming for Tim Payne.
A big pardon?
Yeah,
Pat
well, look, Cumming Pat Cummins... For...
I'm
yeah, so
saying.
Tim Payne sent a dick pic, as the kids call it these days. Yep. I don't know whether you guys have ever sent one. I certainly haven't. So he's on the back burner, Tim Payne, while he, you know, obviously apologises to his wife and makes his way back into the test side. But, yes, Pat Cummins is the captain, and now Steve Smith is back. And this is interesting. I interviewed Steve Smith this morning on radio.
Oh.
And there are a lot of people who say, no, after you're involved in the ball tampering saga in South Africa, sandpaper gate 3 years ago, you shouldn't be allowed another chance. Now, my answer to that is you've got to give people a second chance in life. You've got to base that second chance on the way they responded when they stuffed up. And I say to my kids, falling over doesn't matter. It's how you pick yourself back up that really counts. And you know what Steve Smith did? When he was busted, he had to do 100 hours community service right out in the community. He called a mate of mine who runs a charity and he said, I want to go around to schools and I want to eyeball kids and I want to tell them what I did and how I've stuffed up and how ashamed I am and how I'm going to make my way back. And he went around to dozens and dozens of schools. Some of the young men who heard him speak then went into their principal's office the same day and said, look, Steve Smith just said that if there's something going on in our lives, we should talk about it. They went in and said, look, two separate kids went in and said, look, I've thought about taking my own life, right? Steve Smith saved people's lives during the period that he was banned from cricket. Everyone makes mistakes. I make mistakes. I don't want to be cancelled off the back of one mistake. Yes, it was a big one. Yes, he was the skipper. Yes, he should have known better. But I, for one, am proud of the fact that Australians, by and large, forgive people when they show that they regret their actions, that they want to be a better person. And I think it's fantastic that he's walking out on the Gabba today as our vice-captain.
So he's been obviously rehabilitated beautifully. Now, my question about Tim Payne is, has it got – why did the Australian Cricket Board complicit at all in Tim Payne not being in – why didn't they say, mate, we have no interest in this at all, that's a private matter between you and your
girlfriend? Well, they did. They cleared him, and then the media found out about it, right?
Yes.
Or and did then the all girl, of a sudden they
– Did the girl they go, put up oh, well, a case?
I mean, what happened is there is a – there's a woman who's accused of stealing money from Cricket Tasmania, right?
Yes.
That's before the court, so we won't get involved in it. But as part of those discussions, she has then said, oh, by the way, this consensual text exchange that happened some time earlier, I'm now complaining about it. So off the back of that, the media finds out about it. And then even though Cricket Australia had said, look, you're two adults, you shouldn't have done it, but you were both doing it willingly, now all of a sudden they say, no, this is unacceptable and you can't do it.
Mate, that's my point. The ACB are as weak as piss, mate. If they've made that determination, just say, we have a place in our test side for you, we expect you to turn up and train, and you're in the side, and that's it. Why don't they say that?
Well, they would probably say in response that it was Tim Payne who decided to stand down. Tim Payne decided to stand himself down. And that may be because he's thinking, you know what, I don't want this cloud hanging over the Ashes series, certainly not the opening test. So he may have made that decision for the good of his teammates and the team. But look, I don't condone sending dick pics to people, and I would discourage anyone, and I hope everyone's listening to this, not only would I discourage people from sending dick pics, I would discourage anyone from taking photos of their own penis. It is absolutely unnecessary. No one wants to see your little bloke down between your legs.
Well, it depends on the size of it.
Don.
You might be proud.
I've got a picture of Don's penis.
That's true, but can't you just look at it?
Yeah.
You'd like to share it. You've got a little bit of pride in your appearance.
Show it in real life. You don't need to capture it on a phone.
You mightn't get the opportunity to show it in real life.
Don wanders around the morning. Don wanders around the morning Mornington Peninsula with the open neck trousers on a weekly basis.
I've heard that he's been spotted out on his veranda in that state while looking at the bees pollinating. I mean, that's just sick.
Hoping that the bees will land on it and pollinate something so that he can get out in the community again. Now, I've just finally done. Oh, sorry, go
ahead. You know, if you get stung, it does lead to swelling, which is the only good news for Don. Yes. What's happening?
No, I don't say finally, and just in case you're wondering when the hell this is going to end. But now...
No, all good.
No, very good. So this is extraordinary. So now I see the new idea of had to pay a small amount of money, an undisclosed amount, to Grant Denyer because they made an outlandish statement. So we've had experience with suing people on this podcast about someone who made some outlandish statements about us. A bloke called... what's his name?
No, it doesn't matter.
You don't need to go there again. Look, you know what? Anyone who buys these magazines, you're part of the problem. Stop buying this bullshit that they sell you when you're standing there at the supermarket checkout. It's always full of lies. They're always claiming people are pregnant. They're always claiming people are getting married who aren't. They're always claiming people are cheating on one another. And you know what? Good on Grant Denyer, the garden gnome. He has stood up and said, enough is enough. I wasn't cheating on my wife, and I'm going to take you guys on. And now new idea is settled.
Yep.
So maybe this sends a message to those guys they can't get away with this kind of thing. But more importantly,
that was very derogatory of you. The garden gnome.
No, well, he's a mate of mine. So he calls me all sorts of weird and wonderful things, and I call him that.
Like I call you a dickhead, Don, but you're a mate of mine.
Can I say one thing in closing, right? And I'll talk to you. I'll answer any further questions, but I just want to... I sang a bit of a song last week, right? So I just want to sing this. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor Hook, isn't it?
Love you, boys.
No,
keep sniffing, Benny.
Doc, We appreciate it, mate. You're a star.
Good on you. And listen, when are you knocking off for the year, you boys?
Now, we're going to have to discuss. Don wants to change the day of the podcast just to suit his work commitments. And I said, geez, turn it up. Don, the bees will be pollinating every day of the week. You don't have to get a
all
special.
All right, well, if you need me next week, I'm always around.
No, don't you worry about that. We need you next week. Good on you, mate. All the best.
Love you, boys. Good on you, Don. Love you, Mr. Malat. Talk to you soon.
See you fast.
Okay.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because